Father, would you anoint your word this morning? Let it be with power. And I thank you that you're going to do something significant in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We've got 35 minutes because I've taken 5 minutes with advertisements. So I'm going to have to move quick. So I will move from, for those that remember long play records, I'm moving from 78, no, from 33 and a third, I'm going to move to 78. So the biggest challenge that you and I will have in the year of our Lord, 2017, the greatest battle that you and I will face this year will not be an external battle. The biggest battle that you will have to face and I will have to face will be a battle on an 8-inch battleground. From one ear to the other. This is the greatest battleground that you will ever have to understand. There'll be external pressures always. But the greatest place we've got to win, if we've got to win in our spirit and our mind. A lot of people say, well, preaching on the mind, isn't that new age? Man, it's old age. As a man thinketh in his heart, the Bible says, so is he. It's old age. And the mind, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, every bit of force you have in your being, and with all your mind. God says, I want you to love me with all of your mind, all of your thinking. And as we think, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We really have to deal. Most of my preaching is concerning the power of God and the moving of the Spirit of God. But the mind is so significant. And there's a scripture in 1 Peter. Man, I'm in a good mood to preach. I'm spitting. It's always a good sign. Is that not for you, it's not. It is for me, but people in the front row are already getting umbrellas out. And see, one brother's come in with a snorkel and flippers. Yeah, Forbo's got a beach umbrella and somebody's brought a surf ski in and a jet ski over there. And praise God. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, gird up the loins of your mind. And it goes on there and talks about the hope of his coming, etc., etc. But it says, gird up the loins of your mind. Sometimes we can just grab a scripture. We need to take it in context. But if you, the preceding verses, I haven't got time to really open it up, but the preceding verses talk about this enormous salvation that we have, this incredibly powerful thing that God has done in our lives, this salvation that is so supernatural that the angels are longing to look into to try to understand the power of this thing that's happening in our life. A lot of Christians are wanting to see angels. Well, the truth is the angels that want to look in, are wanting to look into what we're doing. They are longing to look into what's happening in your life. A lot of Christians are, I just want to see some angels. I'd just love to see an angel. Fair enough. I saw one when I was 15. I woke up. I was up in the Flinders Ranges in South Australia, and I woke up in the night. I was on a national fitness camp. And I woke up, and there was a man standing over me whose head went right through the top of this tent, and it was a military tent. And this great big white figure standing over me with a leg either side. And I sat up, thought I was having a dream. And my reaction was, did I fall on my face? Well, I was already on my back. But I sat up and took an almighty swing at the left leg. And this figure walked off. And I thought, that was just a bad dream. But another guy at the other end of the tent was going, Holly, did you see that? Holly, did you see that? No, it wasn't a dream. I go back to that place to preach regularly. When I get to heaven, there's probably an angel getting around with a big Band-Aid on his left leg, right? So people react differently to angels. I just took a swing. The only angel I've ever seen in my life, I took a swing at him. That's it. That's my angelic experience. You might have one of them flitting around. Ha, 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 ha. Not me. I just punched it. But angels are longing to look into your experience. They're longing to look into it. The Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. in among the Orientals and back in the time of Jesus, people wore robes. Men wore robes. Thank God we don't wear robes today. I wouldn't want to wear robes unless... who's that great singer that... Forever and ever and ever and ever I need you now. Demos Roussos, isn't it? Demos? When you're fat, actually, caftans look pretty good when you're a bit fat. I might start wearing them. But men wore robes, but if there was action and there was going to be a battle or something, you picked up your robes and you girded them into your belt. The word gird really means to tighten up your belt. So you gird up your robes to go into battle or to run. You can't run with the robes down around your feet or you'll trip. So you tuck them into your belt. But the Bible says, because of this great salvation we have and everything that's going on, gird up the loins of your mind. And I want to deal there for a few minutes today. Girding up or getting ready, you gird them up for action. And in 2017, I want my mind girded up, my spirit, I want to be charged with the power of God, but I want to have a mind that flows in line with the Holy Ghost, that flows with Him, that flows with His thinking, so that I can achieve what I want to achieve. We'll go there in a couple of minutes. I talked last night from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Who was here last night? This is really a two-part message. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are divinely powerful through God to the pulling down or the demolition or the total extinction of strongholds. And I talked last night about strongholds in the mind, because it says there, we are destroying, the Amplified says, speculations, reasonings, the Greek word is logismos, logical thinking, imaginations, reasonings, and every high thing raised against the knowledge of God. The greatest strongholds, and a stronghold is built either to keep something out or to hold something in. And people have strongholds in their minds. Strongholds in our society, we're such a humanistic society that people have strongholds that have become very anti-God. You talk to people in a university about the fact that you believe in creation. They will laugh at you like you're stupid, while they believe that nothing plus nothing brought up a world that is so complex in its structure and its biological mechanisms that it's beyond anything that our greatest scientists in the world can even understand. The greatest scientists in the world are trying to understand something, and they say that the thing they're trying to understand came without intelligence. You need intelligence to understand what didn't come with any intelligence, just happened. What a load of hogwash. I'm silly enough to believe that this incredible... How can a human being evolve? What do you start with a leg? This thing comes complete or not at all. Take the lungs out, it doesn't work. You don't develop everything and go, gee, I better start believing God for a pair of lungs. It comes complete. It doesn't work if you take out the major components. But anyway, that's another story. It's another story. But the world will conform the minds of a generation. I talked last night about the fact that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, it says in Ephesians 6. And there is a wrestling for the minds of mankind. The devil, if he can take the minds of mankind, he is the ultimate manipulator of the mind. He is the greatest mind controller. In fact, the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles is the Greek word methodeus, from which we get methods, trickery, thought control comes into that, all sorts of manipulation of the mind. It even means to build a road, to build a pathway. Put on the whole armor of God that you might stand against his building of a roadway or a pathway into our thinking. We've got to guard what we allow in here. How many believe that? We've got to guard what we let in. Guard our mind. Watch over it, the helmet of salvation. We live in a world that is constantly, there is an enemy on this planet striving with mind control to take possession of the whole of mankind. The name Diabolus, or devil, the name for the devil, Diabolus, is an interesting name. It comes from two words, dia and bolus. The word bolus means to throw. From the root word ballo or ballos, to throw. But literally, in the ancient Greek, the Koine Greek, if you follow right back to the origination of that word, the origin of that word, it means to throw a net, a fishing net. A fishing net was thrown with weights so that it went down, and as you pulled it in, the fish actually got caught in the net. They got caught trying to flee it. They'd go into it and they'd get caught. It actually netted and held them, and they pulled the net in and the fish were actually caught in the net. Then they would pull them out of the net. And the name Diabolus basically involves the throwing of a net. And Satan's aim has always been, because his power has been taken, his authority was destroyed at Calvary's cross. How many are glad that the devil was defeated at Calvary's cross? And the way now that he works is through the minds of people. I was raised in the 60s. In fact, I was born in 1948, 2 years after Noah's Ark landed. It was incredible. I still remember the Olympic Games in 1956. I remember going home from the Olympics. We went to Paran and had Chinese food in 1956. I still remember Betty Cuthbert had the privilege of getting to know, a Christian woman, full on for God. A couple of years ago, I had time with Betty. I don't know, some of those ladies, our ladies dominated track and field in 1956. The women were incredible girls. How many are old enough to remember that? Three. How many refuse to acknowledge that you're old enough to remember that? I was born in 1948. The most interesting and crazy decade of my life, and I've had the privilege of living in 8 decades. You say, how can you do that? How old are you? Well, I was brought up in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, 8 decades. And by far the craziest, most mixed up and revolutionary was the 60s. There's never been, in my opinion, a decade that was such an incredible revolution, particularly with youth, as the 60s. Everything changed in the 60s. I remember going to see that rock musical, I don't recommend you do see it, but Hair in London, and they sang, "This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius." This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. How many are old enough to remember that? Dawning of a new age. And it was just an interesting thing. I saw it in London. But the 60s, everything changed. In the 60s, in America particularly, the CIA were experimenting with mind control drugs. Russia had been very involved in truth serums and trying to use chemicals to extract information. It was the Cold War. And America, in a number of areas, were falling behind the Russians. One of them led to, in 1958, a propagation of evolution, books on evolution that spread America to celebrate the 100th year of Darwin. And up until then, people actually believed that God created the heavens and the earth. It changed about 1958. And in the 60s, it was just spread like a virus. Along with that, there was experimentation using different drugs. They experimented with magic mushrooms. They experimented with stuff from South America. And then finally, there was a drug called lysergic acid diethylamide, sometimes known as LSD. And LSD was being experimented with in America, particularly down in Laurel Canyon and certain areas. It was top secret. And there were experiments that were being done on people that, there was a lot of stuff happening that was pretty incredible at that point of time, without going into too many details, but a number of the psychologists that were experimenting with the drugs got to like them, Timothy Leary was one of them and a number of others. And it wasn't long before the drug LSD or acid began to spread. And it spread through America like wildfire. And the moment people were on that, it impacted them incredibly. There was a music group in the 60s called the Beatles. How many remember the Beatles? I still remember the Beatles. Love Me Do and all those lovely songs that were so romantic when we were just reaching out to, in the movies, to hold a young lady's hand. And out it came. Oh, yeah, I tell you something. Da-da-da-da-da, I think you'll understand. I was a Beatles freak. I had a Beatles haircut. We had shoes that were, like, so pointed you can stick them into a jar of pickled onions and pull one out. We had all those fashions of the 60s. We were as cool. Kids today think they're cool. They don't even know what the word means. Then we had the vinyl of the 70s. Remember the stovepipe pants, white socks and pointed shoes, brothers? Not many. Brill cream, a little dabble, do you? Brill cream, a little dabble, do you? Brill cream, you look so debonair. Brill cream, the girls will pursue you. Are you using Brill cream? So the Beatles got started with their ballads and the world suddenly jumped onto this thing called Beatlemania. I lived in Adelaide. In Adelaide, when they left Adelaide, 300,000 people lined the streets of Adelaide. One third of the population lined the streets to see them off at the airport. I remember the whole city being shut down for the Beatles. Everywhere they went, cities were shut. It was, those that remember, there has never been anything like it. No music group in the world. Everybody was absolutely, all the youth were taken in by the Beatles. The Beatles were introduced to LSD by a dentist. And when they got home to George Harrison's place, John Lennon said, George, I can't do it. We're the Beatles. I'm John Lennon. We're the Beatles. I'm George. I'm Ringo. It's pathetic. He said, it looks like your whole house is a big submarine and we're all driving it. Later on, of course, we'd have the album, we all live in a yellow submarine. I don't live in a yellow submarine personally, but we sang that we did. LSD became drug of choice. John Lennon, during his lifetime, claimed to have had a thousand acid trips. It was he and George particularly. They went off into Eastern philosophy. You follow the trend of their music. It got you listen to songs like I Am the Eggman, I Am the Walrus, I Am the Eggman, Rukuka Too, I Am You and You and Me and We're All Together, See How We Run Like Pigs From a Gun, See How We Run. I'm Crying, Seven Little Pilchers, Climbing Up the Eiffel Tower. Man, you've been a naughty boy. You've let your hair grow long. Lyrics that had to have been inspired by something. They followed that through and their music went deeper and deeper. There's one song, Got to Get You Into My Life, Got to Get You Into My Life. That was the passion for marijuana, and they made they had to have that every day. They're on dope every day. But LSD changed things, changed John Lennon forever. And all of a sudden you had the music, and they influenced virtually every music group in America. They're all jumping into the whole drug thing, Woodstock and everything else that took place, and the youth generation was changed. Later on, they went off deeper into things like, they began to study things like the Egyptian Book of the Dead, and some of their music actually was direct stuff that was spoken and shared on acid trips, and we had a whole generation coming under the control in music of a whole new world, a world of drugs, a world, psychedelic world, and music became, really through the 60s, became the evangelism of the devil, negative evangelism of the devil to the world, and today is still twisting the minds of a generation. I've got to move quickly here. I've got a lot to share and I'm taking time. But I was listening to a song the other night just out of curiosity. AC/DC, it was a big concert, and one of their songs goes a bit like this. Driving thunder, rolling thunder, driving rain, coming down like a hurricane. No stop sign, no speed limit, nobody's going to slow me down. Like a wheel going spinning, nobody's going to mess me around. Hey, Satan, paying my dues, playing in a rockin' band. Hey, Satan, look at me. Hey, mama, look at me. I'm on my way to the promised land. I'm on the highway to hell. And if you have seen that on YouTube, here is thousands of young people from the depths of their heart making the devil symbol and crying out, I'm on my way to hell. I'm on the highway to hell. I'm on the highway to hell. I watched it the other night, and I've been studying this whole thing of mind control and what's happening. What are we supposed to do about all this? The devil's thrown a net using the media. People are run by the media. The media has grabbed a generation to pull it where it wants to go, taking it to anything. People become convinced. Political correctness is taking a generation where things that we, values have changed so dramatically that things 20 years ago we would have shaken our heads. These days, if we stand or make a stand on certain things, we're just called haters. It's a strange world right now, but it's a world where things are swinging with all sorts of manipulation. What do we do? Where do we go with our thinking? Bible says this in Romans 12. Where do I want to go this year? Where do you want to go? Romans 12:1 says, "Brethren, I beseech you or beg you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Be transformed. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed. Don't be shaped after. Don't be fashioned like. Don't let the world fashion your thinking. Don't let the media, music, stuff on movies, be careful what you watch. Don't let it fashion your thinking. Don't be fashioned after the world, but be ye transformed." It's a powerful word. The word transformed is the word metamorpho, which means change from one form to another, a metamorphosis from a grub to a butterfly. Be utterly transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word renewing of your mind is the word renovation, a total renewing, a total renovation of your mind. And then it says, in order that you might find what is the good and perfect will of God. God says, you want to know my will for your life? Then do not be conformed to this world, but be utterly transformed by the complete renewing of your mind. And then you'll prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. That's a key. God spoke to Timothy and said, Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear. The media, particularly in America, brings fear on every side. Terrorism, it's like the media wants to terrify everybody about terrorism. The chances of dying in a terrorist attack is slightly less than being stung by a bee, dying from a bee sting. People say, do you get nervous flying because there might be a terrorist? I say, I've been on some airlines that are so bad that terrorists are too scared to fly on them. Bible says God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound, solid, mature mind. A solid mind. A mind that's not dictated by anything but the Word of God. The Bible speaks of the washing of the water of the Word. I talked last night from Ephesians chapter 6, how there is a wrestling for the mind. Satan is wrestling. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, from the Greek word arche, meaning first, or ancient spirits that want to control and maneuver, and authorities, asusia, and world rulers, kosmokratoros, powers of dominion of the cosmos, and wicked spirits, pneumaticus phaneros, wicked, malevolent spirits that want to get in our ears. He says, there's a wrestling. They want to get hold of your mind. He says, but take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might withstand in the evil day. And having withstood, stand. Stand, therefore. Stand. I love it. It says that we might stand against the wiles of the devil. That word against is the word pros, which is leaning in. with authority into powers and principalities that want to rule our mind and saying, no way that that is going to happen. I'm taking every thought captive under the obedience of Christ. I am taking my thoughts captive. I'm not going to be maneuvered by the enemy's thinking that comes against me. I'm not going to be maneuvered by the thoughts that say you're not going to make it. I'm not going to be maneuvered by thoughts that say, hey, the economics are going to dry up, or you won't be able to afford this, or you won't be able to do that, or you're not capable of that, or this is against that, or I don't know if you get those sort of things. No, good, good. Never but joking. I get hammered. Since I started studying this stuff and preaching this stuff, I've been hammered. Hammered. Still hammered. But I'm up in the mornings nice and early feeding on the Word of God, because the Bible speaks of the washing of the water of the Word, and that's where our authority is. And I want my mind transformed. I don't want His thoughts to dominate my mind. I want God's thoughts out of this book to dominate my mind. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. I'm going to finish off just with that scripture, girding up the loins of your mind. 1 Peter 1:13, gird up the loins. I didn't even know my mind had loins. Gird up the loins of your mind. The word mind is dianoia. There's different words in the Greek for mind. In fact, in the we have just certain words in English, but in the Greek there's a number of words. For example, do a study of the word power, and you'll find a whole bunch of different words. Dunamis, kratos, dunatos, sousia. A whole lot of them are translated power. We just use power. You'll find a study of the Greek opens the thing up with different meanings. But here the word mind is the deepest thoughts, the deepest faculties of your mind, imagination, and understanding. And God says in 2017, gird up the loins of the deepest thoughts and understanding and imaginations and dreamings of your mind. Gird them up for action. The word loins speak to us of procreative power. Creative power. The source of life is the loins. Gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the procreative thinking of your imagination and the possibilities in God. Begin to get with God this year and say, Father, I want you to take hold of the deepest recesses of my mind and fill me with the thoughts that are going to bring success and blessing. Fill me with your mind and your thoughts that are going to change me financially, that are going to take my business to another level, that is going to take my health to another level. How many want their health to another level this year? I do. I got a couple of knees that aren't great, and I need to do something. I've been threatening for years to get really trim taut terrific. I know I look pretty spectacular, but I'm asking God, how can this year I have a renovation in my mind? How can I have a metamorphosis? How can I have a change this year that is going to take everything we do to another level? What do I have to do in order for the loins of my mind to be girded up for action? I want to have the greatest year I've ever had. I want to do things this year. We're just planning a crusade in India. Minimum 50,000, maximum be about 100,000, 150,000. We're looking at big meetings this year. There's a couple already in place that will be 60,000. But I want to go into this year and impact to the peak of my possibilities in God. I think very often we don't achieve what we want to achieve because we don't wait on God to plan. We don't seek God to get His mind clear. What can we do this year to touch our family? What can we do this year in our business. What can God do for your business this year to take you and multiply where you're at? I feel the challenge, and I've set myself a 70-day challenge starting today. And so far, I've been successful. I'd have to say that day one, to this point, has been a great day. Up nice and early in the Word, and a bunch of things for breakfast, two peaches, water. I did damage it slightly with a cappuccino, but two peaches. I can't remember what I was going to tell you, but I know it was important. But I've set a 70-day transformation this year, and I'm half a day in with success. I never make resolutions. The only one I normally make is not to make one because I break them. And I didn't make one this year, but I feel God's been speaking about girding up the loins of my mind for impact and success. And He wants to do that with all of us. With all of us. And I've got just a couple of minutes to go. But I want to pray for people this morning for a breakthrough in our minds. There's folk here and you've battled with an onslaught out of hell against your mind. What you have to do is take those old thoughts captive and say, I don't know where they're coming from, but it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, taking every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. That means we choose what we don't want and by decision chain it and give it to Jesus and say, that is not me. And I will refuse to let that thought dictate my emotions or get down and impact me in a way that I get emotional or down. The devil knows which buttons to push in your life and mine to really cause us to go into a spin. And we've got to learn that when he starts to push those buttons, and they may be with family, they may be financial, they may be... When the button gets pushed and we start to feel those thoughts and get those thoughts that bring us down so easily, if we let them, we've got to, as soon as that starts, grab it, refuse it, and then let the water of God wash our minds and have a brainwashing. Barry Maguire, who sang back in the 60s, you don't believe you're on the eve of destruction. Anyone remember that? Then he got saved and he put another one out. You don't believe, and you tell me over and over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the dawn of correction. Barry Maguire, his friends came to him after a year or so and they said, Barry, you've been brainwashed. You've been brainwashed. He said, yes, I have. He said, I had very dirty brains, and I chose the one to wash them clean with His Word. We need to have a cleansing of stinking thinking and then gird up the loins of our mind for the greatest thinking this year that we've ever had, totally guided by the Holy Ghost. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the utter renewing of our mind, that we might then prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I have 2 minutes. But sometimes, I'd love to lay hands on everybody and pray for you, but sometimes the Word of God will do what it's supposed to do. I feel the presence of God right through the house. Let's just bow in prayer for a moment. And I want every person here that maybe coming into this year does not know Jesus. You don't know Him as your Lord. You don't know Him as your Savior. You're not born again by the Spirit of God. You do not have a living relationship with Him. You've never been born again. You're backslidden or you're away from God and you need to come back today. If you'd like to know Him personally, you'd like to come back to Him, you'd like to enter into a relationship with Him. You've been a churchgoer, but you've never found Him. But you'd like Him to come and say, hey, I'm washing you clean of every sin you've ever committed. And now I want to fill you with my presence, my power, my love, and my grace. if you'd like to know him this morning, you'd like Christ to come into your life, you'd like a living relationship with Jesus, would you lift your hand quickly? Just lift it up wherever you are and say, that's me this morning. Is there someone quickly? Just lift it up. I need Jesus this morning. Are there those quickly, quickly, all across the building? Is there someone? Is there someone this morning? I want to know Jesus. Well, I have to go in a minute, but before we do, everyone that would say, Lord, this year, I want you to help me in my thinking. I want you to open up your word to me and guide me into a whole new place. Jesus, I'm going to take my old thoughts captive unto the obedience of Christ, and I'm going to be transformed by the absolute renewing of my mind this year. If that's you and you'd like to respond just for a couple of moments, just as we finish, would you just stand to your feet and say, that's me. I just want to make a fresh commitment of my mind and my spirit to you for 2017. Just stand. You don't have to. I want a revolution this year. I've been anxious about some stuff the last few weeks, just frustrated with people not getting back to me and things just which I've been hanging on for and feeling let down by stuff, and I let it get to me, absolutely get to me. I said to the Lord this morning, I'm just going to lock into you and seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things are just going to come into place. Just lift your hands for a moment. I'm going to pray for you, and then with Dr. Forbo, and we're going to sneak off now. But Father, in Jesus' name, would you bring about an absolute revolution in our thinking this year? Transform us in the spirit of our mind. Ephesians 4:23 says, be ye transformed in the spirit of your mind. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit at work right now. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.